We'd been through a hard time. I can't even, it was probably surrounding having another baby or something. I can't remember, but we booked in to see who we were going to as a counsellor. And then by the time the appointment came, we're like, we're good. We're brilliant. We've sorted it out on our own. But it was actually really good to
see. That happens all the time.
It does. You end up working it through. And you're like, we're fucked. Yeah. We're over. Yes. We're done. Book an appointment. Then when you go, we're like, oh, we love each other.
Welcome to Parenthood, where each week we explore the lives of Aussie mums and dads and what's really going on behind closed doors. I'm your host, Leonie Akitanor, mum of two, business owner and relationship coach. Let's begin.
Welcome to the show.
Bobby, Steve, welcome to the podcast. It's so great to have you on with us today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks very much.
I want to dive straight into this beautiful accent of yours. So when did you tell me, when did you both move to Oz? Tell me about the journey.
We moved 13 years ago.
Yeah, it'd be 13 years ago.
13? Yeah. He came home one day from work after we'd finished art school. We'd just done our final year and graduated from Manchester. Mm. And he came home one day and was like, do you fancy going to Melbourne? And I went, yep. And then we moved here, but he's got a different, he moved here to play football.
Okay.
And I just followed him. So you can tell that part.
Yeah. Well, look, we just both, we originally met at fashion school in Glasgow, and then we made our way to Manchester, and the plan was always to move to London. Mm. But because we had taken so long to do the studies and stuff, we always kind of had that feeling of that we had never earned any money and just lived like normal people. And I was speaking to a friend in Melbourne, and they said that you can come over and you can make a little bit of cash playing soccer, football. Mm. So I thought at the time that would be quite a good segue, you know, come over to Australia for a year and then venture back into London and do what we had studied for. Mm. But I think it really only took about 3 months for me to realise that I wanted to stay in Melbourne. Mm. Took Bob a little bit longer to come round to that in the end. But 13 years later, and I've only been home once.
Wow.
In 13 years.
Ridiculous.
We've had a lot of problems with visas and all that jazz. So there was there was constriction there for me going back. But to be honest, most of my family were more happy coming out to Melbourne rather than me going home. So
yeah. And what about you, Bobby? Have you been back a bit?
I've been home two or three times, I think.
Yeah,
maybe just two.
Yeah.
I made sure I went home when I was pregnant. So I went home when I think I was around 20 weeks pregnant, because my best friend back home was pregnant at the same time. So I really wanted to get back and see my friends and family before I didn't know when I was going to get back again. And thank God I did, because then 2020 happened. So I'm really glad I went back.
Wow. So you snuck in that trip before COVID reared its head.
And it was only 2 weeks. It wasn't a long time.
Yeah.
It wasn't an extended long holiday. So I definitely feel like I need to go back.
Yeah. And we've also got our third interviewee on the couch.
No longer on the couch.
It's like parent life. So how old is, and remind me again his name?
James.
And you said he's about 3 and a half.
He's almost 4. He's going to be 4 on Australia Day. It's that age where they just can't sit still.
Oh, yes, I do.
We'll see how this goes.
Yes, I was saying to you earlier, I've got a 3 and 4 year old, so I can so relate. But it is a very cute age as well.
Yeah.
So going back then to your journey, I mean, when you, was it easy enough? I'm thinking, let's go right from the start. So to conceive and things like that, was that for James, was that a sort of a straightforward process for you guys, or what was it like?
Before James and we originally started trying, the first pregnancy that we had, we went to the 8-week scan and it was actually an ectopic pregnancy. So that was, I had to go for emergency surgery. I lost one of my fallopian tubes. So that was, there was a big bit of healing after that. So we tried again probably about a year after James.
Mm.
And first try.
Yeah, both first time tries, which was like, I thought at the time, like, whoa, this is easy.
Yeah, don't think we were prepared for it to be so quick. We were like, oh.
Yeah, I had kind of came around to, right, let's have a baby, you know what I mean? And then I thought I had a few more months up my sleeve, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, straight away. It's a little bit more complicated the second time around.
Yeah.
We've been trying for a while, and the second one isn't.
Hasn't reared itself
yet.
So it's very strange to go from two fairly easy, straightforward to entering in the world of having like difficulties.
Yeah.
Which is very confusing.
Absolutely. And do you mind me asking how long it's been that you've been trying?
Well, we have different versions of how long it's been. I would say about a year.
Yeah. Okay.
It's probably over a year that we've been trying, but I wouldn't say that we've actually gave it a good go every single month.
Yeah.
Well, Stephen thinks of everything as sports. So he's like, unless we're doing like 12 goals, you know, like I would say we've been, it's been a long time for me.
It hasn't. But I think like the major thing for us is that like the way that we work in I'd imagine most relationship, there's a bit of spontaneity around about the bedroom antics.
Yeah.
And now with James and then not having any family over here, you don't have any time.
No.
And we've got a really weird, it's not weird. Our time slot for that's like between 4 and 7.
It doesn't
the average time slot for us throughout our relationship.
Mm.
And then that early morning and late at night, it's just like, it's just not.
It's not.
It starts to feel
like a job.
Yeah.
Which isn't nice. So we've actually actively tried to not put the pressure on it because it got to a point where it was becoming, it wasn't fun.
Yeah.
It wasn't fun at all. And we just, like, I would rather it take a little bit longer and try and retain some of that spontaneity. I can't say the word.
Yeah.
Spontaneous aspect of it rather than it being like I'm ovulating quite. It's not enjoyable.
So do you feel, I mean, we love being raw and honest on this podcast. So to each of you, I'd love both of your perspectives. And I ask the question because for those of who might be listening who are sitting in the same boat, like, do you feel there's a level, obviously there's frustration and all of those things, but even sometimes a level of resentment in general towards others, towards each other, like what dynamic has that sort of caused, do you think?
Yeah, well, I think it's actually a relevant topic to right now because I got my period 2 days ago and it's something that I speak about. I've got a really close network of friends and we're all mums and we met through being mums and they've became someone that you can talk about because they understand, like, you don't really want to put everything on your partner. And I've been talking about that because some people are so kind and feeling like they have to preempt and telling me their news that they're pregnant or, you know, that someone else has had a baby. And I don't ever want to feel that resentment because every pregnancy and every baby is a blessing. And I've had that conversation with myself. I never want to get to that point. And obviously can't help it. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes it is the way it is, but I never want to look at a new baby or hear a friend tell me some amazing news and feel that pang of pain. Like it's just, I just don't want to be that way. And then obviously sometimes it does hurt and you do have those feelings on days where you're down. The last 2 days I have felt it been a little bit difficult. I even been complaining at him, like, you need to be a bit more softer with me. This is a rough one. I can't control it. It's just the hormones and the feelings and be softer. And then you've got the guilt of wanting something else so much when you've already been blessed with one child. So there's that guilt as well. Like I shouldn't feel like this because I'm so lucky with what I've already got. But yeah, it's just a merry-go-round of conflict within your own head of actually like acknowledging the feelings that you do have and then not really allowing yourself to feel guilty for feeling them.
Yeah, it's a big one. What about you, Steve? Like, you know, month after month, how's it been for you?
Fundamentally, I'm happy that we've got James. And I have to revert back to that quite quickly, quite fast. And that's where I kind of make sure I stay in that zone because I know of people that can't conceive and have tried and they've went to all ends of the world and been on some crazy journeys where they've gotten pregnant and then lost it after 6 months. You know what I mean? And so I really come back to that quite quickly and I know that obviously the way that males are made up compared to females, that I just need to be that kind of voice and reminder for Bob. But ultimately, I would like a bigger family. That's for sure. I see little feet running about and I even think to myself, we've already considered and started the process, the discussion anyway, of IVF. Definitely not against that, for sure. And even we've flirted about the idea of what do you call it? Sorry,
no,
adopting. Adopting.
Didn't know where you were going.
Just the idea of multiple feet moving about the house, and I kind of like that energy as much as it's difficult managing even one. I'd imagine you'll grow into the numbers.
Where did that conversation sort of lead? Is it sort of just something that could be an option, but we're looking at all of our options at the moment? Is that what you're both thinking?
He loves the time frame.
I like timelines.
So he puts the time limit on it.
Yeah, right. The sportsman.
Pretty much.
So I've said that if we've not conceived by February, March of next year, then we go down the IVF route.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the clock is ticking. Do you know what I mean? And every now 40s, 50, maybe even 40s, 60 now, because of like biohacking and all that kind of stuff, and everyone's getting younger in a sense. But I'd rather have a kid sooner rather than later.
I would definitely rather have a kid sooner.
Yeah.
Rather than later.
Because obviously you're sort of talking about how difficult obviously, you were talking about how difficult it can be and all those mixed emotions when you are, you know, in the thick of it. And I honour you both of you today, even just being open enough as you are sitting in this to you know, share that with us and our community, because I know a lot of people will really, you know, get so much out of that. So thank you, firstly. Are there things that you're doing in your day-to-day lives that is supporting you? I mean, you had a great comment there, Steve. It's like my mindset I've got to come back to. I'm grateful for what I've got. I mean, that's easier said than done as well. Yeah. Are there other things, like, is that you keeping up exercise? Are you a meditator? Are you, you know, what things do you do to sort of ground yourself when you are facing challenging times?
I think it's like a constant thing in our house. We're in a real kind of health driven phase of our life. Stephen hasn't drank alcohol in like 6 months. I rarely drink, to be honest, but sometimes I have like the odds glass, but I've really restricted alcohol. We're trying to eat, but we get our meat delivered and it's all grass fed. Like, we really keep an eye on our diet and try and do all the things that are going to make us or contribute to making us feel good. Exercising is huge. It's definitely huge for Steve. He's like a million sports. But I need to do, for my mental clarity and also a little bit of me time as well, like, I need to exercise. I've taken up bar and I do Pilates as well, hot Pilates. So just doing things like that and having the space. We actually juggle our week and have allocated a schedule now, so we can see a clear direction, and I think that's really given us
random for us. Like, we're not scheduled.
We're very sporadic.
We've realised that we're not going to be able to do life without it, really.
So we have nights. So I have Monday and Wednesday night. He has Tuesday and Thursday. So we make sure that we have time away on our own.
Yes.
And together, we try and we look at the calendar as a month, and we're like, we've only got one thing together this month. That is not enough. And especially with like conception on the brain, we're like, one night together alone is just absolutely not enough, because we don't have family here. It's hard for us to, we don't have a granny or anyone really, an aunt and uncle that we can just go, I'm dropping him over. So we have to actually be proactive and schedule in time. We've got an amazing neighbor. Well, we've got amazing neighbors, a family next door that we rely on a lot big now mama. With James. Big mama.
Big mama.
Mary and Spiro, and they've got two boys as well, and they take James. They've actually started taking him overnight sometimes, which is just like,
special.
Amazing.
There's a little hole in the fence, and he peeks his head through there.
He shouts on him.
I always ask him, why do you want to go to Big Mama's house? And he just turns around and goes, because she gives me sweets. I'm like, right, you're not going to Big Mama's house tonight.
Because that's a big thing as well. I mean, particularly in a time, as you said, where you're trying to, you know, you're going on this conceiving journey and you're really trying to, you know, connect in the best way possible for it not to feel like a job. Mm. You know, having the nuggets of time, just the two of you, or perhaps when little one's in bed or whatever it looks like, you know, would be so critical. Do you feel like to make sure that you stay on the same page and so that you don't get to resentmentville down the track where you're just like, this is just another thing on our to-do list. Like, are there things that, you've tried to implement as a couple? Like,
I think the date nights in the calendar, because we're actually pretty useless at night. We still, one of us sleeps with James. It's just, you know, co-sleeping during COVID. And like, he's getting to the age where he will sleep on his own soon. But we actually, we try, we're like, I'll put my bed, but then whoever does never gets back up.
Yeah. Okay.
Because Steve gets up really early. So it's, with those date nights are pretty much like fundamental for us. And the weekends as well. We usually have Saturday to like work, but then Sunday is like a family day where we actually spend time together.
Yeah, yeah. What about you, Steve? Do you, as you're juggling the little one, which is like classic parenthood life right now, what do you think helps?
I kind of went through. Everyone finds their own kind of parenting style, don't they? And you think that you're maybe going to be a certain type of parent prior to you actually having a kid. And I definitely think I fell into the category prior was the, you know what I mean? That, what is it, self-soothing type parent. And I remember we tried it and I was like, no, don't go in, Mum. And then I was like, we're going in.
I think we lasted like 3 minutes and I was like, it's not in me. He had to force
and then
me
during,
and I'm like,
during COVID, like we actually had, James was sleeping on his own. He was in his cot and whatnot. And then during COVID, it got, you know, obviously quite depressing and stuff. And I just wanted a cuddle, you know, so I brought him into bed. And then throughout listening to a few other bits and bobs, but there was one thing that Jordan Peterson actually said. He said, I can't remember it word for word, but he basically was just talking about like from the age of birth to four, that's it. After that, they are not the same little child anymore. And it just penny really dropped for me. And I was like, well, I'm going to take every single last little bit I can without it maybe being suffocating. Yeah. I enjoy sleeping with James. I enjoy him waking me up in the middle of the night and annoying me and disturbing my sleep. Because I just know that it's not going to come back around again.
No.
You know what I mean? And when I'm 75, that's the type of that annoyance I'll be screaming out for. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, in terms of like what we doing, well, we're definitely trying to change up the bedroom antics and trying to be a little bit more on the front foot there and not just wait for things to happen. For instance, I just came home from. you're gonna get ready. Well, we're just gonna.
He's usually Mr. Closed Book, and I'm the one that always gets into trouble for like not knowing.
So let's just say we're entering into more going at the tech, sexy land. You know what I mean? Trying to bring some other.
I mean, we've also been together 18 years.
Yeah,
we've
been together for a long time.
Yeah, a very long time.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's important to change it up then. Like,
100%.
I might buy a wig.
Buy five.
But it's, you know, and yeah, I mean, gosh, 18 years together as well. Like, you've basically grown up together.
We're actually 1 year away from me being with Steve the same amount of time I've been alive.
Wow.
So,
isn't that?
I met him when I was 19.
Wow.
Yeah. So I don't even really remember not being with Steve. So
yeah.
It's a lifetime.
It really is. Literally. Yeah. And what about, I mean, you both work independently. I mean, Steve, you've got your business. Bobby, you know, similarly. So, you know, that's a challenge in itself, right? Because you don't have your annual leave days and you don't have, you know,
6 days.
Like, what complexity do you think that brings, you know, in juggling a child?
For me, that was a massive one because, I mean, I was feeding and it just, I also didn't take a lot of time off work because I do work for myself. Don't get maternity leave. Don't get any sort of subsidies also from the government because we weren't residents then. So we don't get any help from the government. I got no relief from work because obviously I am my work. So I think I was really struggling. I went back to work 2 weeks after giving birth. Like, I started doing things from home and just like working in his naps. And then it came to a head probably when he was close to about one. We did have Emma, who was working for me at the time, that it ended up being more beneficial for her to look after James and let me work. And then I had to really draw a line under it because I was not being a very good mum and I wasn't working very well. I was trying to do everything at the same time. And I had to really, like, separate the two. So I'm with James 2 days. I'm with him on Tuesdays and Fridays. And then I work Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and I have to keep things completely separate. Like, I tried to take him to work with me today and wrap up a painting, and he jumped on top of it and ruined a painting.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
That had to go out today.
Oh,
I was like, fuck, I'm going to have to go back. Oh, I just
No, you're fine. We're at lots of that on this podcast.
I was like, I need to go back up maybe tonight then and repaint it and send it out tomorrow morning. I'm like,
so
that's what happens when you try. You cannot, it's just not at the age. No. Newborns, yep, they're little potatoes.
Yes.
Pop them anywhere.
Yeah.
But not when they're this age. And it wasn't actually fair. I got angry because I was like, very expensive mistake.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it was actually my mistake because I should have never have expected him to be like not a child when I'm at work. So
we often do that. I don't know, as mums, as parents, we can do it. It's fine. We'll make it happen. It's not like you need to, it's kind of like focus on one thing as much as you can at a time. For those listening who, might be in a similar position where they don't have family, they're kind of feeling like it's all on their own. Perhaps they've got businesses and things like that. Sort of, what are the key tips that you feel have really enabled you to, I guess, parent in the best way possible? I feel like I'm already hearing nuggets from what you're saying. Like, do one thing at a time and don't feel you can blend and juggle it all because it just creates so much stress and heartache. Anything else from both of your perspectives that come to mind?
We definitely failed miserably at that to begin with. And that comes down to both of our personalities in terms of that we're just kind of, we never made plans.
Go with the flow.
We would go with the flow. So easy going, wait till Friday to decide anything. And realize now that, and we, like, funnily enough, man, we wouldn't even really communicate too much around about what we were doing at the weekend. It would be like, oh, I'm going to do this. All right, cool. No worries. Right. I'm going to go off and do this. But I would say fundamentally, you need to communicate, and you need to communicate even more than you think you need to communicate. And it maybe even gets to the point where I'm now, like, once I've kind of locked in that, right, that's the way we're going to do it. I think I'm rubbing Bob up a little bit because I'm like, right, can we talk about what, and she's still maneuvering in that kind of wanting to just like be easy breezy freezy, you know what I mean? And a few times just actually in the last couple of weeks there's been, it's like she said to me, oh, I'm doing this, and I'm like, nah, wasn't on the sheet.
It's not on the schedule.
Not on the sheet, mate. Come on. And she's losing her mind. And I'm like, well, we need to communicate.
So in our friendship group, we call him the dictator. Stephen is like, he's the fixer.
You've got another name for me, let's be honest.
Yeah, but we can't say off the podcast. We'll just leave it at the dictator. And he's very like his way or the highway. He's got his...
I reckon I'm really accommodating. But once we decide that like that's the kind of rules, then right, that's the rules.
Stick to them.
That's it. Whereas I'm really easygoing, I'm laid back, I'm go with the flow, I go with the wind, I'm like a little helium balloon, I just flow wherever I want.
Yeah, it's more that you don't want to tell what you're doing.
No.
You want to have that like ability just to like, no, actually I'm doing this.
I didn't grow up with a firm structure in my house. There was no routine.
Yeah.
There wasn't a set thing. There was no time to do homework. Dinner was the same every night, but there was no bedtime routine. There was no consistent routine. So I kind of rebel against it. Exactly. And it's not that I actually don't want to do it. It's just it's so foreign to what was built up in me when I was younger.
Yes.
And I actually really see the benefits of having a routine. That's something that we've figured out now.
Yeah.
So that in me, I kind of, it gets my back up when he's like, he's very... square, like that's the plan, and sometimes it makes me want to rebel against it. So I kind of struggle having to, I mean, it's purely to my benefit, like learning to schedule, especially when you're on your own business. I can't just rely on what falls on my lap and where the wind takes me. So it's actually been like a good and positive thing, but it has been challenging to have a calendar and project. So what we have now in the wall in our hall, because I'm very like, I'm very into design and how things look and the aesthetic. And he's like, we're getting calendars on the wall. And I was like, no, we're fucking not. I'm not putting a calendar with post-its on my wall. It can go in a drawer. And he's like, we've had to compromise. And now in our hallway, they're actually made because there was no nice, there's no aesthetically pleasing, like, big format calendars. So I made my own. He's like, can you not just go buy one?
That's Bob, that's Bob's way of pushing something back, right? So we'd have the chat. Let's say we have the chance, Sunday, right? We're going to get some calendars. And we agree that we're going to do a schedule and whatnot. And she's like, no, there's no good calendar. So we had to wait another 3 weeks before starting the scheduling thing. You know what I mean? And I'm like,
because I was designing them on InDesign. I had to go and print them. But then now they're on the wall. Nice, so we've got 3 months. We've got until December on the walls. And it's actually really nice to be able to look. And I've actually color-coded, because I'm a psychopath, color-coded, like, what days James is at daycare, what days man, well, what nights are mine for whatever I want to do, exercise, what Steve, and then we've got, like, the family days at the weekend, and then we've got little tabs of what we're doing. And it's
date nights
as well.
Oh, that's amazing. What a great hot tip, because I think sometimes visually seeing it versus it being on your phone and you're kind of swiping around.
Visually don't work for me.
Yeah.
I need to physically write something down or it doesn't. It's like I inscribe it in my brain. So if I physically do the action of writing, it's
and
there.
And also you're passing it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You're actually, it's at the front door, so you're passing it. So there's no excuse. Yeah. I think a lot of the time with apps and whatnot in the phone, you go all the bother of doing it. And then it just disappears into your phone.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So that's hilarious. So if there's an item on that calendar that you then, Bobby, want to be like, oh, I know that that's the night that I'm meant to do my exercise, but I've decided to do exercise. That's
last night.
Oh, really?
She's stepping on toes more often than I am.
So tell me what happened.
That's why I'm golfing on Saturday morning. I'm just letting you know that.
Yeah, he's taking up golf. He already plays soccer, now he's taking up golf. I'm like, no. I was like, I'm going to take up
golf. You over last night, so I'm playing golf on Saturday.
So whatever.
This is it, tip for tat. So I got, I've just recently done a job with Emporium, which was amazing. It was to launch Fashion Week. Done a huge commission painting. It was great. It was there for a month.
Yeah.
And Steph, I think she's marketing at Emporium. Yeah. So I went to pick the painting up and it was the first time that we'd met because she'd been away on annual leave or somewhere. Mm. And she was like, do you want to come to Fashion Week? And I was like, yeah, if you can get me tickets. And she texted me yesterday morning, like, come to the Underground Runway. I'd love to take you with me. So I phoned him and I was like,
yesterday morning.
Oh, shut up, whatever. He's honestly the most annoying person in the fucking world.
I didn't get told this till about 6 o'clock.
No, would you like a timestamp? I live with that. He's a pain in the ass.
Sounds very familiar, by the way. Yeah, I think if my husband was here, he'd been nodding to me.
I got a text at a variable time and whatever. I got the text, I phoned you straight away. He's really attached to getting details perfectly right. And you cannot say the wrong time or reiterate a story, which I don't care about. It's a story. Who gives a fuck?
You don't care about the factualness of the story.
It's just like,
so basically you decided I'm going to Fashion Week.
And I was like, it's your night. The show isn't until 8, so you can still, this is another point.
Yeah.
On my nights, I take an hour, I go and I exercise and I come back.
Yeah.
Steven's like, oh, it's the whole night. I'm going to go and like, and it's my allocated time. Like, it's like just the whole fucking night. And I'm like, dude, work out for an hour, like any normal person and come back. It's not like you need to maximize those fucking hours. Steven Clark again. So he was like, it's my night. You're not, no. And I was like, fine, I'll get Mary to look after James. But that means like he's at Mary's for 8. He's probably going to be hyper. He's going to miss his bedtime. That's fine. Like, that's up to you.
Yeah.
But I was like, can we actually talk about how you just, this is his version versus my version. He is supposed to drop James off at daycare on a Thursday.
Yeah.
More often or not, he goes, I'm too busy at work. I can't do it. I don't even bat an eyelid. Sure, that's fine. I'll do it.
Yeah.
I don't say, because I'm like, you're saying you need to work. You're saying you need to work, even though it's like dropping your son off, but whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so the one time I'm asking you, which I never normally go out, can I actually go 8 o'clock? And you can still do whatever you want up until I need to leave. And I managed to, like, I talked him round, but he's very like, it's the rules.
It's because that's on the calendar. It wasn't on the calendar. But it is like, and this is the complexity. And I think it's fine to be, you know, free spirited and all of that. You wouldn't even notice any level of contention much in a relationship before children if you are that way, because there's no one else to be responsible for.
Nah.
You do you, I do me, chill, see you when I see, you know, I'll catch you at the bar at the end of the night. Like, no one cares. But isn't, and what you're talking about is such a good example. And all of us are sitting here like, nodding. I'm nodding profusely because a number of times this has happened to me and to everyone listening, I'm sure, where you're just like, but can we, like, things pop up and how difficult it can be in a relationship dynamic as well to kind of go, okay, well, how the hell are we going to actually make this work?
Yeah.
And then, you know, the other person has their opinions and things. It's just like such a classic example of like parenting and how your life changes so much.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys have been together for 18 years, right?
Yeah.
So imagine like this happened, you know, 15 years ago without children. Oh,
yeah.
No problem. Whatever.
Yeah.
So it is such an adjustment. And, you know, I think that's the beauty, but also like the thing that, you know, parenthood, it makes us grow as people, right? Because all of a sudden we have to navigate a completely different view of life. I don't know, Steve, like, what are your thoughts on that? Like, it's harder, right?
Oh yeah, it's definitely harder. But I don't necessarily see that ever changing.
Yeah.
And I just, it's just going to have to be a case of how you deal with each situation. And the thing is, what always happens as well is I think that we always pick up the phone or send a text and we're coming from our perspective.
Yeah.
We've got absolutely no idea what's happened. I don't know what's happened in Bob's day prior to that or what's happened. She doesn't know what's happened in my day prior to that.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're met with a reaction that isn't necessarily the reaction to said event. It's actually what's been going on prior to the day.
Yeah.
And in that moment, I was really like, I had already set up, I was going back into work because I'm running late with some jobs and all that kind of thing. And I'm like trying to do that because I think I'm doing it for the family. So I'm sitting in that position and then she's like, I'm going off to fight. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But look, in the end of the day, that's what makes or breaks you in a relationship. If you can't work your way through an event like that, or you find yourself at loggerheads more often than not, then you're going to really struggle. And you have to, it's give or take. And I think I am, Bob likes to say, in a sense, we work together in terms of deciding what we're going to do. I'll be more of the implementer of that. But if I don't stick to that, but this is what I'm thinking in my head, if I don't stick to that structure, we will then completely wobble and come off the rails. So that's my reason for being a dictator.
And I think it's such a valid point what you're saying. It's so important for us to think about it. Also, you know, from the perspective of we don't know what's been going on for the other person that day in that moment, etc. And this is where, like relationships will work. Like, and it's not necessarily always easy. And that's just what it is.
Another point, more so than actually anything at all during this whole entire process has been that you actually need to do more growth on yourself individually than any, and that's probably goes for anything in life in general, but I've found that you definitely do need to ask yourself the question, why are you getting annoyed about that? Why is that frustrating you so much? Because I can guarantee it's not the actual, it's got something else that you need to get past yourself. So there's been a lot more, especially even in just like the last 6 months to a year of going down that kind of health, mind, spiritual kind of realm of things. And that's definitely helped. Speaking to people, you know what I mean? Having some counsel with somebody or however you want to go about it.
Yeah.
That's, we've done joint counseling before and that was amazing. Yeah, that was.
And it was funny, we booked it when we were going through a real shit phase because when you have kids, it completely rips you wide open and you have to rebuild yourself as a parent as well as being a partner and yourself under this new identity.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things come up from me from my own relationship with my mum and my upbringing, a lot of things that I had to forgive and move forward. And a lot of understanding came from the fact that my mum was just a woman who was a mother, which is really massive. Like coming to the realization, a lot of things you've maybe been angry for, like that was her version of her best.
Yeah.
So we went and, I think it brought up a lot of things in our relationship as well. And just like, you have to really compromise, and obviously two different people trying to parent a child, that's huge. So we went and we were going through a rough patch, and we booked in.
We've not found much. We've got pretty much all common ground when it comes to that.
Yeah, we do. We actually are.
Yeah.
But we'd been through a hard time. I can't even, it was probably surrounding having another baby or something. I can't remember. But we booked in to see who we were going to as a counsellor. And then by the time the appointment came, we're like, we're good. We're brilliant. We've sorted it out on our own. But it was actually really good to
That them. Happens all the time.
It does. You end up working it through. And you're like, we're fucked. We're over. We're done. Book an appointment then, and you go, we're like, oh, we love each other. And there's something about the lead up to it. It forces you to actually act and deal and think and consider of what's going to happen in the appointment.
Yes.
So then when you get there, you're like, and it's actually a really good process to have someone who is technically like Switzerland, who doesn't have an emotional attachment to you both individually, to have a outside perspective on situations or personality traits that are able to either bring you back from being stuck on something or make you understand
just
it more.
Perspective all the time. Just shifting perspective.
Yeah, shifting perspective.
It's massive. Yeah, in terms of treatments, physios, chiros, anything like that, I've been down all routes, and I was kind of always really quite skeptical about going to talk to them about stuff, because I thought, nah, I'm scared to unwind things that I don't want to get unwound, and it's really nothing like that at all. It's literally just a conversation. Do you know what I mean? It's literally just letting some gas out, and having the opportunity to have them shift around about your perspective, and in the end you get to grow slightly in a different direction, which is been fantastic.
Was it one session that you had, or were you able to have multiple?
Three.
We've seen her individually and then as a couple as well, so it was kind of good.
And I would do that. I would definitely do that in terms of, if I was to give out advice, make sure that
you're working on yourself individually as well.
Knows both ends first, rather than coming in with a war, if that's what you know what I mean.
She had a good understanding of us both and our histories and what we were dealing with individually, and then how that would piece together in a partnership.
She also, she was down the side of a mix between the Eastern medicine and Western medicine. So it was a bit spiritual kind of stuff.
She done energy healings. She was a family counsellor, but she was also, I think you could definitely class it as being psychic. There was certain things that she would, there's a certain, it's one of those people that you go and experience, and then you're trying to tell a friend to go and see them, and you're like, I don't know how to explain
it.
The experience I had or what they do. You just kind of have to go.
Yeah.
It like encompasses so many different aspects of things that are a lot of people that would be quick to go, I don't believe in that.
Yes.
But you could not deny that she had psychic abilities because there was a lot of things that she tapped into that you didn't even need to verbalize. Like she was able to take you back to specific memories where
and
things
you hardly
came from
ever
from
talk about the thing that you think you're going to talk
never
about.
Yes, that's the other thing.
We've got this list of like, right, I'm going to talk about this first, second, third and fourth, and then she just starts with a conversation just about anything and everything, and she obviously can pick up on how you're talking about certain things. And then that leads you down.
I think it's great. And I think, you know, for those listening, we've got resources out there that can support us. You know, parenthood, it does shake your life, as we said, in every which way, in the most beautiful way and the most challenging way as well. So to tap into these resources, similarly, I've sought support from a relationship therapist. We had three sessions with my husband and I, and that was just really great. Like just, as you said, to let the gas out, to air some of your dirty laundry, to pick up some tips and techniques that you can be more mindful of going forward. And I would absolutely be open to going back, you know, at a point in which we felt we needed to. So, I've loved everything you've said here, guys. Thank you so much again for your time today and for the mad juggle, because I know it's not easy when you've got the little one as well, but you've done. He's done brilliantly.
Yeah, like,
there we go.
There's, I was waiting on him kicking off.
But, yeah, really appreciate you for coming in today, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Cheers.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe, leave us a rating or review, and share it with your friends. Want to contribute to the conversation? Hit us up on Instagram at ParenthoodPod and join our Facebook group. Until next time.
Thanks for listening.
The Parenthood Podcast would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land we produce on, the land of the Wurundjeri people. We pay respect to their elders, past, present, and emerging.